As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
With that message, never better get checked. There ain't no difference when the king goes sick. Put it down and a check, fuck around and get quick.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
Are you prepared to shake away your fear of being rich and successful? You must discover ways to accumulate wealth without adding more work to your day. The Wealth Dad system adds more value to your hours by creating an opportunity to multiply your efforts. Visit WealthDadSystem.com. If you want more information, call 407-459-4827. This is an opportunity to change your quality of life and increase your monthly cash flow. Hello, everybody. I seem to have had a difficult time getting in. Cheryl, can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay. I'm having such trouble, Ray. Did you hear the opening that I said or the numbers that I shared in regards to the number of deaths that happened in...
No, I didn't hear you say it. I only got it through the text.
Okay. But here we have a situation where over a 13-year period, 440,000 Americans died from gun violence. And only 3,000 during that same period, only 3,043 died as acts of terrorism. But we spend more time focused on acts of terrorism than we do gun violence. So how is it spent all that time not understanding that we need to do something about our domestic issues? Seemingly, we don't understand the importance or value our American lives when it comes to Americans shooting each other. Don't you find that kind of odd, Cheryl?
You know, I do. And good evening to everyone. And how is everyone doing? I got a chance to look at the videos. And I was looking at video where when talking about guns was totally dismissed. You know, it's like saving it for later. But when does later ever come? And this seems to be such a widespread. I mean, when you sent those numbers, I mean, I can believe the numbers, and numbers don't lie. And we keep pushing the fact of anything dealing with gun control on the back burner. So, I mean, and that's something that is hard to understand. You know, we doing everything else, and just like it was said on the video, you know, we're going to talk about hotel security, you know, making the hotel where the guns couldn't go through, but nothing as far as the gun issue itself. And I mean, the guns in this many hands that is killing, the amount of people that is killing, I mean, is it that there's an underlying thing going on where somebody's, you know, wants people to be gotten rid of? Or, I mean, it just makes you wonder why there's not anything, and as far as dealing with the gun situation, and what can we do as citizens to get this moving? What can we do? That's my question.
Well, one of the problems is, and Dee sent it out earlier, that we have a situation where the NRA is making money and the gun manufacturers are making money. So they don't want us to do anything that will deter the purchase of these weapons. And even when they want to make it worse, could you imagine if there was no sound from the weapon? So what if this man was able to have a silencer and be shooting up there with a silencer? And you know what I'm saying? And I can't understand, the laws are protecting gun owners and gun violence, but not giving any protection to the citizens. So, Dee, I'm asking you, how in the world they are for the people when they're willing to sacrifice us with these numbers year after year after year?
Well, thanks, James. I'm glad you made it on the air. We were a little worried that we might not have this conversation today. I think it's important that we understand the premise of that question. And in order to do so, we got to understand who the Republican Party is. The Republican Party and the Conservative Party, who they are. They are all about making a profit. If you check their motives across the board, they are all about making a profit. You know, when these people voted Donald Trump in office, they was willing to overlook all his shortcomings in the thought of they were going to be able to get a huge tax break when it came down to do the tax reform. That was the only thing. That was the only reason they really voted for him. They were willing to overlook all his childish behaviors in order to make a profit. So it's all about profit with them. At the risk of putting the whole world in jeopardy. That's a strange mindset to have, but I think that's all it is with them. Thank you.
It just bewilders me, though, that you could talk about the importance of life in terms of the life in the womb, but you don't have any, you don't see the value and importance of life that's already here. So, Cheryl, they're willing to sacrifice the lives that are here to gun violence, but they want to force women to have babies that they refuse even care for. How do we reconcile that?
You know, I'm still stuck on those numbers that you sent, and I can't, and I understand that everything is based around the dollar. Clearly, one of those situations. So, if they had more control, that would be eliminating some of the gun situation and the gun problems that we are dealing with today. But that would decrease the amount of cash flow that's coming in, or that's being distributed among those that is getting a piece of the pie. So I don't understand it. I really don't. You know, the only thing that I understand is the trade for a dollar for a human life. If there's not any money to be made, then we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to discuss it.
It is just difficult to understand how logic plays into some of the decisions that the Republican Party is making when we're speaking about wanting to reduce the amount of lives being lost. David, how can people talk out of both sides of their mouths when they talk about against killing babies, but yet we don't mind Kenya's killing 30,000 people a year?
It's easier for them to cut back on programs like Planned Parenthood than it is to refuse the influx of money coming in from the NRA. So that's how they can do it. There's no way, like I said yesterday, there's no way you're going to hear a Republican talk about gun control with any consistency, because that would be so apparent. Because on one end, if they were to do it, they would say, okay, we need more gun control. But at the other end, they got their hand out and getting paid by the lobbyists for the NRA. So that would be a direct contradiction. That's why you won't see it. And so, therefore, it's easier for them to act like they care on some level about the budget by cutting back on Planned Parenthood. So that's why that should answer your question. I don't see any holes in that answer.
But, you know, you would think that we as Americans wouldn't continue to vote against our own interests. When you're losing 30,000 lives a year or having people shot, over 100,000 people either killed or wounded, that you wouldn't continue to allow these kind of legislation to continue without trying to intervene, because your children's lives are at stake, brothers' lives are at stake, your sisters' lives are at stake, and yet you continue to let it happen. When I think about the fact that when the virus, this mosquito virus, was coming from Brazil, we were ready to do anything we could to keep from there being any disease from gaining a foothold. But we seem to care less about the foothold that guns are taking. Why is it that we can spend all kind of money for vaccinations or making sure that diseases don't come in our country, but we don't want to do anything about the disease of gun violence?
Well, I want to make a suggestion that that the Conservative Party and the Republican Party, they are a wealthy, wealthy bunch, and they do all that's necessary to protect their wealth, even at the expense of utilizing technology and any other would-be tool that they can use to influence people when it comes down to voting and when it comes down to protecting their interests. My case in point is that I believe that they have utilized the concept of auto suggestion. When it comes down to protecting the Second Amendment, they use the emotional value that wraps around that to tie in the conservative vote. And the Second Amendment is that the right to bear arms in case the government comes and try to take over your way of living. And they use that in an emotional kind of state to tie in everybody's love for firearms and to extinguish any other ideology that you, the liberal or the Democrat, may have. I think that's a relative point, and that's my view on that.
Well, one of the things I thought was so crazy, and I tried to send everybody, and one of the men who were on the stage talked about how they were for the NRA, and they wanted their right to carry weapons. And so they had all these weapons on their bus ready to protect themselves, but yet they knew they couldn't even go get those guns because those guns were useless against the man who was shooting them and killing them. And if they went and got the guns, the police might have mistaken them for the shooters. So this theory that the more guns we have, the more protected we'll be, doesn't pan out. So, Cheryl, why are people believing the more guns they have, the better off they'll be, when in many cases the guns would have done them no good because in Orlando they couldn't have legally carried the guns inside the bar. So it wouldn't have done them any good to have guns because they couldn't have carried them in the bar. These people, if all of them had carried guns, wouldn't have did them no good because they couldn't have shot at the person who they couldn't see, or they might have gotten mistaken by the police as the perpetrators had they had weapons drawn. So tell me, how can the NRA continue to say that we will be better if everyone carries guns?
Well, you know, when you ask me that question, the thing that comes that I think about is that when you associate with having a gun, you're looking at being protected. That is your means of having protection in case something happens. It does not seem as if it is well thought out past that. Just like you said, well, you have the gun for protection, but if you're not able to carry the gun in different places that you go, you know, then what is the use of the gun at that time? So it seems as though it's not really thought out with that explanation. To me, it's just a lame excuse of why there should be more guns, because more guns means more money.
And David, the same question to you. You know, they use this thing that if more Americans had more guns, they'll be more protected. But we can't be protected against high-powered rifles killing you, or weapons that are shooting, 60 rounds per second. So how in the world does that play in that we can be protected if more of us have guns?
It doesn't. And the better question is, how can the NRA justify selling rapid fire machine guns, because they can't say it's for hunting, and so it can only be for just gratuitously shooting rapid fire weapons or for mass killing. So how can they justify selling those weapons, period? They can't. And so what they do is they put everything in one group, meaning we have to have the right to bear arms. But when that was created, it wasn't designed to have everybody running around with machine guns. And so they can't justify it at all.
Indeed, we seem to be at the mercy of the NRA because, just like David said, they're refusing to give up them dollars that they're getting from the NRA. So they're willing to sacrifice the lives of citizens every year because they're not willing to do anything to restrict gun sales. And we all know, Cheryl, when you have the ability, what good does it do you to have to require people to have background checks if you're going to have loopholes that allow them to buy guns at the county fair or to buy guns from individual salespeople. That defeats the whole purpose, because if you know that a background check is going to keep you from purchasing a gun, then you use the loopholes that allow you to get them lawfully.
You're so right. I mean, and just like you said, if you can't buy a gun legally, a person who really wants to get a gun, they're going to get it illegally. So they're going to find ways to get it. And I mean, that's how we have so many killings, you know, because these guns that are on the streets illegally. But even the, you know, it's just all totally out of control. It is totally out of control. So, you know, if we can't find a way to get it legally, those who really want it, for whatever reason they want it from, they will find a way to get it illegally.
Joyce, I think you were the one that sent this last picture, and it displays these mass killers who are European Americans, but yet they want to always talk about the violence in the black community. But when it comes to mass shootings, white Europeans are the ones who are doing these shootings, but yet they don't want to restrict the guns that they're using.
That's true. They're white Americans. They're not Muslims. They're not the people that they're trying to ban. So the reason why I knew that the person was white, like the article indicated, is that because Trump wasn't tweeting. Had it been a Muslim, a minority, a black, he would have been tweeting all night long. So this is what we got to look at, is that it's not that you got to look at who's doing all this mass murdering. Think about it. Every last one of those guys have been white, and they've been here in the United States of America, and they're not the Taliban, or they're not the Muslims. So we do have an issue here. We have a serious problem, and we have a problem with who has the authority to have control of all these guns. Now, I went on at an appointment today, and it was sickening what I heard. It's just ridiculous that how these people think Trump is so right, and that all the bad stuff that's going on that has nothing to do with Trump, it has something to do with Obama. I heard that today in a store. It was crazy. I cannot believe how people think. Oh, world, we have a serious problem here. We have a serious problem of what people think and how they feel about our president and what they feel about this health care. So I am totally, totally afraid as to what it is. So, yeah, it's not putting a ban. What I feel as far as an automatic weapon, that should be only be in the control of the military as far as I'm concerned, because hunters don't need that, because with a type of machine gun like that, once you kill an animal and it can do 100 rounds, what do you got there to show for it? I mean, so in order for a person to have that type of weapon, it is for what it served its purpose for the other day, which is horrible, and that's mass murder. And there's no way. And I don't see why we as citizens, we as Americans, we as congressmen, why we have a problem with putting a ban on that. And that is not violating your right to the amendment. That is not violating your Second Amendment right at all. Now, what I also feel, too, that if they're going to have that type of weapon, they should have it. If you're going to go hunting, it should be at that location where you can rent that type of weapon. But you should never, ever have that type of weapon in your presence at all time, and particularly not in the environment or in your community. It don't make no sense. It's crazy.
And looks like they're even trying to make it worse. I think it was you, Joyce, who brought up that they want to even have silencers. So you keep asking yourself, why are we making it easier for people to kill people by taking away even the noise? And they want to suggest that's for hunting as well. Everything is for hunting, but it seems like it's hunting of humans that they're trying to continue. So I'm not sure I understand who they're trying to protect.
That's true. You got this organization that is running the total control of everybody, and it doesn't make any sense that only a few people, the NCI or whatever the name of that organization, it's crazy that they run, they have that much power.
And, David, let me ask you, some things just make common sense. So can we here we are losing 30,000 Americans per year to gun violence, and you want to allow silencers to become legal? I mean, where you haven't solved the problem of gun violence, and yet you're ready and prepared to give more violent people a better option.
I don't think they're trying to solve the problem. Obviously, there would be some gun control. And I think that there's a larger issue here, Jane. A larger issue is the mindsets involved. If you think about how they're not only doubling down on the availability of guns in terms of allowing the pursuit of silencers, like you were saying, and machine guns, they're allowing all these things. But there's a bigger picture here, and the bigger picture or the bigger issue is the mindset involved, because it's just about short-term thinking. It's about how much money can they make right now. And just like the denial of climate change and the planet temperature rising, they're in denial of that because they're able to capitalize on the destruction of the world right now. Just like they are in denial of them trying to act as if they're concerned about human life. They're not concerned about human life. That's why they're allowing the guns and the silencers to be addressed and to be pursued, just like they're allowing the destruction of the earth because they're denying climate change, because they're able to capitalize on it. They're able to make money on it now. So the whole conversation is a moot point, in my opinion, because they're not trying to make things better. They're only trying to make money, period.
Yeah, it is such a bizarre situation. Cheryl, you know that, you know, and we all have known for years that the Republican Party wants to keep women from having abortions. And again, I keep saying this because it's so crazy. You want people to have babies, whether they want them or not. You're not prepared to take care of them once they get here because you don't want programs to help women feed these children. But yet you're okay with 30,000 Americans being shot because the NRA is giving you money. And how are Americans, people, intelligent Americans, sitting back and watching this happen and don't do anything about it?
On that question, I may not be the best person because I don't believe in abortions. That's only my personal, that's my belief and how I feel. But I do understand what you're saying. You know, as far as the abortion versus the lives that we are losing, you know, to gun violence. And I think that we are losing a tremendous more lives, you know, to gun violence. But I'm going to tell you, you know, they're going to keep having a way of, in their mind, justifying it every single time. And no, they don't want to use dollars in helping, you know, women when babies are born and they can't take care of them, because they want to see more of the money themselves than giving out the money.
And, Dee, you know, how can, you know, if you allow people to just say anything to you and you won't denounce it, who's the crazy one? You know, I mean, again, I understand Cheryl's position. Cheryl believes, saying that she doesn't believe in abortion, but certainly I'm sure she doesn't believe in not giving money to these women to take care of these children. So if you're going to love children enough to make women have them, you should love children enough to keep them from being shot.
Well, James, I want to concur and piggyback off what David said. I think what we have to do now, we have to understand the nature of who and what we are dealing with. Now, when you first asked the question to David, you made mention of it doesn't make common sense. And I think that that's the issue that we're dealing with. We're dealing with common sense versus intelligence. And I'm under the impression, because I've been watching what the Conservative Party and the Republicans been doing, and they have pulled out all the stops, and they are implementing more intelligence than they are giving into what's common sense. There is no common sense in any of it. Even when it came down to electing Donald Trump, there was no common sense in that. All right. When David just said that they will do anything and everything to make money, I want to bring back the fact of when we first invaded Iraq. When George Bush and Dick Cheney first invaded Iraq, and there was no real proof of weapons of mass destruction. And without a declaration of war, they went in and invaded anyway. There was a profit to be made by Dick Cheney and Hellenberg by going in after the war and contracting work to be done in rebuilding. That was the whole premise behind that. All right. So when it comes down to common sense, you know, look at the voters that vote Republican. The mediocre middle-class worker are common people. They have to be told what to think all the time and how to think. And look at Rush Limbaugh. For 35 years, he and Sean Hannity and countless others have been telling the common people what and what not to think. And so at the end of the day, when it comes down to voting, they've already set the stage on how you're supposed to do. So there is no common sense in it. It's all about the profit margin. And so and the gun lobbyists understand that. They are all stock and barrel in on the whole scenario. And so our common thinking on how we see them needs to change. I think that we got to see them more intelligently instead of just implementing common sense into the factor. Thanks.
All right. Cassie, what are your thoughts about, here we are, I sent you a document that showed that from 2001 until 2014, there were only less than 5,000 terrorist murders in our country, but yet there were over 400,000 murders, domestic murders, through gun violence. How can you justify or rectify not doing anything to reduce those numbers, but yet scream and holler about ISIS? Are you there, Cassie? David, I just don't see how you can be, you know, you can intelligently argue you're going to fight ISIS to the death, but you're not willing to fight or increase the laws that will reduce the murders that are happening here, right here in your country.
Yeah, I just think it's a matter of priorities, and human life is not really at the top of the list. when you have people that are literally selling their souls. You know, it's like we don't care about anything else. Let us make as much as we can while we can. In fact, it's to the point where, you know, their own legacy, their own grandkids are going to have to take care of a lot of these issues because the people that are currently in power are so short-minded in their thinking that all they want is all they can get right now. And they don't care about anything else. You see that all across the news with almost every event, you know? And so it's just unfortunate, but we have to prepare accordingly. Once you understand, you know, how people think, then you can prepare accordingly. So until people come to the realization, because right now, for the last several years, people have just been asking the same questions that you're asking, and they're not getting any straight answers because every time you ask one of them a question, they're going to spin it into something different. And so it's kind of like, okay, well, the people asking the questions are playing checkers, but the people answering and spinning the questions are playing chess. And so until you're on the same kind of battlefield that they're on, meaning the chessboard, then you're going to continue to ask questions, and then you're not going to get straightforward answers, and you're going to continue to be manipulated, just like what you see now.
And the other thing is, David, every time somebody devises a better plan to kill Americans, that, you know, if you don't do anything to stop it. Now, we've never had a gentleman do what this man did from a hotel 32 stories up with a concert right outside the concert, clear shot for as long as literally for long enough to kill or hurt over 500 people. So what is it going to do? And this time it was a rich guy. Okay, normally if you had some deranged, unhappy person that of little substance, but this time it was somebody who had a lot of substance, who had all kind of money, and all kind of reasons for living. But yet he was still mentally ill and mentally deranged and thought up an even more heinous way of killing people. So if we don't change the status quo, what's to keep them from renting a helicopter or doing something even more egregious that we can't protect ourselves?
Well, this is the new normal, James. And so there's going to be even more creative ways for people to get, you know, exiting headlines, meaning they're getting a headline as they get killed because they've done something so horrendous. But this is the new normal, and it's not going to go backwards for the reasons we talked about earlier. And so people just need to understand the mindset and prepare accordingly, because things are not going to get better because people are not trying to make it better. And that's evident by the people that are elected into these positions, you know. And you have somebody like T. Rump, who thinks the way that he thinks, and then you have, like the young lady said earlier, people talking about it's Obama's fault. And so clearly their mindset is trending in the wrong direction. So things are not going to get better until people wake up, and people don't want to wake up because everyone thinks that the other person is wrong, even though they don't even want to look in the mirror to see if they're wrong. And it's just unfortunate, but I don't see a way out short term.
Joyce, let me go to you. And because you've already expressed a fear of going to public places, how is this going? If more and more people are thinking like you, how are we going to deal with the economic disaster of people just not going to these concerts or not going to movie theaters because of their fear of domestic gun violence and our legislators not trying to do anything about it? Are you there, Joyce? Dee, what is your answer to that question? I mean, isn't it going to help hurt us economically if people start not going to these events?
Yeah, it is. But I think, like David said, and David, I got to tell you, man, I like your way of thinking, because I think that the new normal now is where it's at, and it's where it's going. So to answer your question, James, yeah, they will lose money, but like David said earlier, there is another big picture agenda ahead. And what that is, I do not know. But I can tell you this, there's a pattern. And the pattern that I see is that all of the big wigs that own everything, they own all the industries, they own all most of everything, that people that we work for, they are in on something, or at least they believe they are in on something, that they're going to capitalize on the back end of it all. But I think that, you know, there's something to be, something that needs to be really noted. And it is the play on words. The fact that when Donald Trump first hit the ground, and he claimed that everything was fake, the fake news, there's fake news, fake media, and all that. Well, the reason he was doing that, because they are the masters of that. I think they have taken a page out of the playbook of Tokyo Rose. And if y'all remember, Tokyo Rose was a flamboyant Japanese DJ during World War II, and her job was to assist the Japanese and to making the Americans think that they were losing the war. There was no other airway for the Americans to be entertained, so she would play jazz and things like that just to get their attention. Then she would come on to further explain how the Americans was unhonorable and they was losing the war effort. And I think that the Republicans and the conservatives have taken a page out of that playbook, where they want everybody to think that whatever you think on your own is wrong, that you're not patriotic, and if you don't think like we do, then you're wrong, and they want to point fingers at everybody else. Yeah, I just think that's something to pay attention to. Thanks.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
You know I love music, and every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun, but it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to, oh, let it go. Can't let this thing called love get away from you. Feel free right now, go do what you want to do. Can't let nobody take
bye.
Are you prepared to shake away your fear of being rich and successful? You must discover ways to accumulate wealth without adding more work to your day. The Wealth Dad system adds more value to your hours by creating an opportunity to multiply your efforts. Visit WealthDadSystem.com. If you want more information, call 407-459-4827. This is an opportunity to change your quality of life and increase your monthly cash flow.
Well, David, let me ask you this. Those of us people of color or people whose voices are being quieted or people who don't have guns, who want more gun control, how do we amplify our voices? What is it that we can do to start being heard and being governed by the minority people who own guns?
James, that's an excellent question, and I think the answer to that question is the best thing that we can do is to strengthen ourselves economically, to strengthen our community economically. Because if you don't have any money, let's face it, you don't have a voice. And the more money you have, the larger your voice. And so I think the best thing we can do is to empower ourselves financially. And so, in fact, I was going to bring this up. The best thing that we can do, the only thing that I think we can do, is to strengthen our community. But we need to strengthen ourselves first. Just like we talked about before, you know, when you're on an airplane, when that air mask drops down, the best thing, the only thing you can do before you can help someone else is help yourself. Then you can help other people. So unless we're willing to do that, then we won't have a voice. And so I think that the focus of the conversation should go to that first. Then we could talk about making changes. Just like when you had a previous show talking about how police will shoot unarmed black men, or they will incarcerate innocent black men, and because they don't have any money for a defense, then they just are railroaded right through the system and into prison. And so, again, if we don't have any money, we don't have any choices.
Cheryl, what do you say about what Dave is saying, is that we somehow or another have to put up or shut up if we're not going to empower ourselves financially so that we can empower people to do our bidding, then we just have to remain quiet.
Totally agree with what he said, you know, and that's just about with everything. It starts with us. And as we extend from us to family and within our community, and, you know, our communities are not coming together. So I totally agree with, you know, with everything that he just said, that with that we will gain more strength.
And it just seems like we need to do things that help our communities and strengthen our voice and get out there and talk to more and more people. Kathy, are you with us?
I am with you guys, and happy Tuesday. And this is an excellent conversation going on, and I just want to continue to listen.
Okay. All right. Well, Joyce, how do we implement the kinds of things that David is talking about if we're not going to be willing to put our money in the pockets of people who think like us or accumulate wealth so that we can have a bigger voice? Then it's almost like we're condemning ourselves to be quiet.
I'm not that person to speak on that situation, because I've tested the system as far as what needs to be done as far as the right thing to do, and sometimes that's not all best. Money is not what's gonna make things right. You got a system that you're going up against, and this system is not it's not about the money. It's about the people that has the power, that's in control. So I'm not the person to elaborate on that, because when I had to test the system for what it's worth, it did not pan out that particular way. So I'm apt to go into a plan B instead.
Okay. Well, D, what do you think? I mean, do we need to galvanize ourselves economically so that we can have a bigger voice in what is clearly something that is against our best interest?
Well, again, I think they would make an excellent point, but his second point was the plan B. And the plan B for me is to we have to tap in again to our people's belief system. We got to get them to understand and to believe in themselves again. It is my observation that the other culture have made a lifetime and tried to discredit who we are. And, you know, if you go back and look at the days of Dr. King and his movement and the Negro movement, see, the Negro movement was to convince the world that I am somebody. I'm not just a piece of meat that you can just treat any kind of way. And so I think that we have to galvanize the movement again. You know, back in the 70s and the 80s, we used to encourage each other. And we used to, you know, call each other brother men, my brother and my sister, and you're doing great, my sister. And I think that we need to get back to those fundamentals to get our young people to believe again that you are somebody and that you need to stop selling dope to one another and you need to start calling her a bitch. And you need to stop trying to go to jail to get street credit. So we got a fundamental problem. And I think that fundamental problem is that our younger generation forgot how to believe in something real, and something that's important. And I think that's where we should be aiming our efforts. Thank you.
Well, let me throw another wrench into this. David, as we talk about not being able to change things without having an economic voice and supporting those people who speak for us, in this particular situation and in most of these mass murders, except the one that took place in the black church, the majority of these people are being killed white individuals. Why do you think white America is allowing this to happen when the majority of these people being gunned down over and over again are not African Americans?
I had to answer the door, James. Can you repeat that question?
I'm just trying to figure out, with most of these mass murders happening, not being of African Americans, except the one where the white young man went into the black church, why is it that white America seems incapable or unwilling to do what's in their best interest when most of the people who are victims are themselves?
Again, because they are ruled by greed, and obviously on their totem pole, where you have the dollar is first, themselves are second, and those kinds of things. Can you imagine how far down African Americans are on that list of priorities or that totem pole? And so that's why I keep going back to, you know, we have to strengthen ourselves because no one else cares. If you think about it, history proves that people don't care about black people. They just don't, and they haven't, and they won't. All you have to do is look at the news, and you see what's happening on every front. And so, and just like the young man said, until we start caring about ourselves, and until we start empowering our family, and until we start as parents and start to impart self-love and self-esteem in our kids, nothing is going to change in terms of black-on-black crime, because if we don't value ourselves, then how are we going to value another, someone else that looks like us? And so everything does start in the home. It starts in the mind. And then we can, as parents, we can start to do the right thing. But in terms of waiting for someone else to give us their approval or to act as if they care when they obviously don't. I mean, we're just waiting in line at the slaughterhouse. That's all we're doing.
Cheryl, let me ask you, you know, we sit here and we grapple with our place, like David just said, on the totem pole, and we recognize how do we get the people or young people in our society to recognize the value in their lives so that we can have a stronger voice overall when we reduce the kinds of things that are happening in our own community.
I'm going to say from my experience is that teaching my children and the children that they surround themselves with at a very young age. So instilling in them at a young age and continue to reinforcing it, you know, throughout the time that they're in my home, but also older, we know that all the decisions that they make, they'll be either influenced by it or they'll remember what was taught at home. So I think, you know, instilling in the younger kids today and constantly instilling in them, because if we don't instill those values in them, you know, definitely they will be influenced with such negativeness when they get out, you know, in the world.
Dee, we sit there and we think about intellect and intelligence. The roles in our schools are increasing. The number of people who live in America is increasing. And we got the intellect. And I guess David is saying we have the intellect, but we don't have the economics. When are we going to be able to put the two together?
Well, I'm in agreement with David, and I hate to act like I don't have an opinion on my own, but I'm in agreement with him because it's a long road. We have a long road. You know, when it comes down to trying to strengthen, when it comes down to wanting to get people to do right like Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not really our problem. Donald Trump is his own problem. And he's a problem for our nation, sure enough. But I've said before, if we are blessed enough to get through this nuclear showdown, if we are blessed enough to get through that and if we come to our own realization that it's hell or high water, and we need to make some changes. The first changes that we need to make is with ourselves. And so there got to be a fundamental effort on how we start to address ourselves. Like Miss Cheryl just said, you know, we had a show the other day about young parenting and parenting in overall. A lot of people don't know how to parent. A lot of parents, they have no idea what it is to be a parent. They say things to their kids. They use words that's derogatory and demeaning to their kids, and they expect the kids to come out right. So there's a fundamental drive, or there's a fundamental movement that we got to start all over again. That's my point. Look, I said the other day, I'm 60 years old. I'm 61 years old, and if by God's grace I live to be 80, I hope my black people show get this right. They got to get it right this time. Because with the implementation of crack cocaine and dealing drugs to one another and the derogatory effect of gangster rap music, we missed the boat. And so by this, Donald Trump being in office should be able to shake us up real good like you're shaking somebody.
And we need to put all feet and boots on the ground to try to get it right this time. Because I don't know if we're going to get another chance as a people. Thank you.
If it goes back to community and goes back to us teaching ourselves and making sure that our individual children, our nucleus, is getting the message and taking the message forth, how are we going to get the message to those families that are inundated by all kind of drugs and alcohol and unintelligent? George, how are we going to get into those families that have been inundated by all kind of cancers, of social cancers?
I think one way is to have social programs within the community and not wait for the government to initiate programs. We got to start creating programs of self-help within the community to strengthen ourselves as a whole. Because we go back to someone that indicated about the we're so low on the totem pole as far as the gun and the killing and the whole bit. But what the government is relying on is for the community, the minority community, they're going to destruct, self-destruct each other. So we got to get out of that frame set and that frame of mind and start creating self-help programs within our communities to bring back that positiveness, what Dee was speaking about earlier, as far as calling us sister man, brother man, and the whole bit. We got to build that reinforcement of positive within ourselves.
All right, we're going to take another short break, and we're going to come back and get a final word from everyone.
Thinking back in time when love was only in my mind, I realized ain't no second chance. You've got to hold on to romance, don't let it slide. There's a special kind of magic in the air when you find another heart that needs.
Cheryl, what is your final thought for this evening?
That this was a very good conversation having. And I guess I'm still in disbelief as far as the numbers, but what really can we do to make a significant difference in getting the laws changed? I know we've tackled it, but what can we really do that would really make a difference?
You know, Cheryl, when we talk like this, it just shows you that we don't have the luxury of not voting. We don't have the luxury because, you know, until we get the economic peace, it seems like to me voting is the only way or mechanism we have right now to make sure our voices are heard. And if we're not going to do our part by standing in line and voting, then we really are not going to have the role that we want to play in the decision making. And we right now we have no decision making power whatsoever. It's all belongs to the Republican Party, and that's our fault. And until we recognize and see that we don't have the luxury of sitting on the sidelines to vote every time it comes an opportunity, until we make it that economic peace in place, we're just at the mercy of other people. Kathy, what is your final thought for this evening? I know you didn't have a lot to say, but we always want to hear your voice. Are you there, Kathy? Joyce, what is your final thought for this evening?
I think what we need to do also is just to try to groom our young people to put them in key positions, too, as far as making powerful decisions and putting them into more politics. We got to get them involved on a local community type of a lifestyle level. And this way, do a lot of talking to them and let them know how powerful they can be when they get in those key positions. So we got a lot of work to do.
All right. Dee, your final thought for this evening?
I'm on board with Ms. Joyce right there. I think that we have to understand the war and the battle that we are in. I think that we need to come to realize that words do matter, and we need to use our knowledge and try to influence others just like the other party has done. I think we need to start utilizing social media like Facebook and whatever else that you're using. These people that are on these sites, they're hungry for knowledge. They're hungry for knowledge, and they lack knowledge. That's why they are so involved in so much other stuff. And I think that if we would get on social media, just like the other party has done, and choose our words wisely, that we can instigate and antagonize interests and stimulate interests to where the new movement is supposed to be. And the new movement is supposed to be for us to unify one more time. Thank you.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. David, your final thought for this evening.
You know, I think it does go back to parenting, and I think it goes back to the kids. And I had a conversation with my 16-year-old I think it was 2 days ago. And I said, man, I sure am glad that you know how to solve your own problems, because ever since the sixth grade, I haven't been able to assist him with math as an example. Now he's taking a couple of college courses. He's only in the 11th grade. And I said, why do you think you're able to do so well? Because he doesn't need any help. And in fact, he goes around and helps other kids in the class. He said, Dad, you taught me a long time ago that I need to be able to think my way through things. And because what ended up happening was he would raise his hands and the teachers wouldn't call on him. And that's been happening ever since he was in like the second grade. And so I said, you have to be able to solve your own problems. And so he said ever since then, he's been able to think his way through things. So when problems come to him, he can think in the midst of all of that and think his way through. I think if we start teaching our kids how to think and how to love themselves, that we won't have the problems that we're experiencing in the Black community. And, you know, he told me he goes to a high school, there's 3,000 kids. He said he's the only one in his high school that doesn't say bad words. He doesn't even want to say bad words. But everyone else saying the N-word, regardless of the nationality, and he's surrounded by all of that. And so he's not subject to peer pressure. And I think that that self-love and that self-esteem that we impart in our kids when they're really, really young, it's gonna pay dividends as they grow up and they become productive members of society moving forward. That's our future, and so we have to invest in that.
Yeah, we're going to have to find a way to establish where being smart, being intellectual, and being able to get to the table and have our word respected plays a major part in getting things done. We have to be respected for what we bring to the table if we're going to make change and be looked at in a way that people are willing to follow us. But there has to be a movement or a change that allows the majority in certain situations to overcome the economic piece. More people don't have guns. But the NRA is keep telling us everybody ought to have guns. And we know that there's more people out there living without investing in weapons than there are that are investing in weapons. But yet we don't, that is not the message that carries the day. And so we're going to have to do a better job of carrying the message that most of us believe so as to overcome this non-reality that the NRA has impacted us with. So I just want us to recognize that we have a duty to impart to our children and even to the children that are around our children that there is a better way, and we need to grab hold of it and hold tight to it so that we can make sure that our belief system is the one that survives. I want to thank you all for your continued support and know that it is only because of you that the word is continuing to get out and that we need to continue to talk so as our voices are heard loud and clear. I look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time as we make sure that we are part of what is happening in our world and in our country as we move forward. See you guys tomorrow.